Pennsylvania voters will soon have their say in determining who will serve as governor for the next 4 years. Incumbent Governor Republican Tom Corbett came to WHYY Studios last Friday, and now rival Democrat Tom Wolf is making time in his campaign to join us. Mr. Wolf, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And welcome back to WHYY. When you were with us way back in May, and that's many miles ago, you spoke of your distaste for negative campaigning and cited your time in the Peace Corps in India, where you learned about Gandhi's teachings, and you noted, quote, "Gandhi felt that you can't separate means and ends, that you can't pretend to serve noble ends by getting there through ignoble means."
That's right.
This has been, by most measures, though, a very negative campaign. And are you in a position to achieve those noble ends?
Well, I think that's a fair question. I think so far I've been able to keep my side of the campaign on the area, on the level that I think is appropriate in a Democratic campaign, pointing out what I think the shortcomings of the other side have been and pointing out what I would like to do instead.
If you're elected, you'll have a legislature in which both houses are likely controlled by Republicans. Can you realistically work with what oftentimes is an adversarial core?
I'm not running for dictator. I'm running for governor. And regardless of the partisan identity, I'm going to have to work with the legislature, and I want to work with the legislature. I think all of us are going to want Pennsylvania to get to a better place, and I'm going to appeal to that sentiment, and I think making Pennsylvania better is something that transcends party lines.
After the economy, government dysfunction is the top-of-mind concern. How do you hope, though, to realistically break through that in Harrisburg?
Well, I think a lot of times dysfunction in any setting, any organizational setting, is due to a poor leadership, a lack of ideas, lack of imagination, lack of vision, a lack of willingness to sit down and actually have a conversation. All of those things I've done in my life when I've been in leadership positions, and I expect those are the things that I'm going to bring into play if I win the race for governor.
Let's flesh out some of your ideas. Pennsylvania obviously currently imposes a flat 3.07% income tax on all taxable income. You have plans and notions for a progressive tax, though several editorial boards have criticized you for not being more specific about your proposal. Couldn't you use revenue data from this year, perhaps, to give an idea of the changes you'd propose?
The most recent date, I think, is 2012, but it's sort of
well, fine then.
Yeah, it's actually not raw data. To actually do this, I was Secretary of Revenue, to do a good job on revenue projections, and it's always a iffy thing at best. You need to get very granular down to the individual level, and I don't think you want me to have access to your personal income tax figures. And so appropriately, I think the Department of Revenue keeps that stuff very confidential. So I don't have access to it. But what I've been able to say is I think in part of this campaign is to try to make Pennsylvania fair. And that means we have to have a fair tax system. It means we have to have lower property taxes. That means we have to have a fair personal income tax system. That means we have to have lower corporate net income tax. Means to me we have to have a severance tax on the Marcellus Shale. Those are the things I'm talking about. And yes, I did bring that up, and I've been as specific as I can on the one aspect of that, the personal income tax. I want to have a universal exemption. I want to have one flat rate, which is what we have now. We actually have an exemption, a special poverty provision, and we have a 3.07 flat rate. What that exemption would be if I change the calculation to just make it universal, and what rate that would require, I don't know. I also don't know how cold this winter is going to be.
But without more specificity, aren't you leaving yourself open to those who are worried that it might impose new taxes on the middle class?
No, I think I've been specific as I can possibly be there. I define the middle class, and it will vary from region to region, but an individual making $70,000 to $90,000, that means a couple making between $140,000 and $180,000 a year, and again, depending on where they live, that's my definition of the upper limit of a middle class. People making less than that will see a tax break, and that's the way I'm going to do my calculation. Again, I think asking me to go beyond that would be asking me to be dishonest, and I've decided I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm going to be as honest as I can. I want a fair tax system. I want an all-in tax system in Pennsylvania where we support the public goods we all want with a fair tax system that as low as it can possibly be for as many people as we can possibly make it. And beyond that, I can't be more specific.
Let's go then region by region. How does your smart growth plan apply to Pennsylvania's more impoverished cities and municipalities?
That's one of the things that really makes me want to run. We have in Pennsylvania, and it's not just cities. Our first, second, and third class cities are struggling, but so are our boroughs. I live in a small borough that has been built out. And we're all struggling with that lack of ability to grow revenues in any way other than raising taxes, which actually makes us reinforces the concentration of poverty as people move out to escape those taxes. We have fundamental problems. For 12 years, I chaired the organization called Better York, which was devoted to the revitalization of the city of York. And really studied the issues that got places like the city of York into the plight that it is. And I think a lot of the things that we face in York, a much smaller city, are also issues that affect places like Reading and Lancaster and Harrisburg, but also Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. I want to make sure that I address root cause issues. We can make deals to make sure that we're doing the things to seed growth in those areas, to try to make urban growth a reality. But I think we need to go beyond that. For example, infrastructure investment is something that we desperately need in places like Philadelphia and York and Pittsburgh.
So where will the revenue come from? You're touting a gas extraction tax. Can that go far enough to cover all these areas in need, including education and infrastructure and maybe even the pension liability?
I think the 5% severance tax would generate at current production somewhere in the high hundreds of millions of dollars to $1 billion. But I think we also need to do three other things. One is there are ways to save expenses. For example, the charter school reimbursement program. The formula we use right now is an average costing. We should go to a marginal cost fund. That could save hundreds of millions of dollars. If we expand Medicaid, that would save hundreds of millions of dollars. If we look at the way we manage our pension fund, we could save hundreds of millions of dollars. I was Secretary of Revenue. I understand that our system has loopholes. If we made our tax system more broadly based and fair and plug some of those loopholes that we can do fairly quickly, that would save hundreds of millions of dollars. We also need to look at priorities. For me, education is a priority. We make choices. And I know we have limited funds, and one of my choices would be to actually invest in education, to try to follow through and deliver on the promise of a good education for all of our children. And that would mean making decisions, hard decisions. And there are other places that maybe we should be trying to spend less. We ought to spend money on investing in a transportation infrastructure. So a third thing is looking at innovative ways to raise funds, public-private partnerships, securing grants from the federal government, looking for new ways to actually make capital investments that will make our economy stronger. And then finally, if we do this over the long run, not too long run, we should actually create jobs as opposed to what we're doing right now and make an economy that actually generates the jobs that generate the revenues at the current tax rates that will actually allow us to provide the public goods I think people want and I think a strong market needs.
Citing education, we learned from Governor Corbett last week that Pennsylvania provides 52% of the revenue to our beleaguered Philadelphia schools. What is your plan for it?
The average state share funding is in the 30s. It's about a third. We look to the federal government for a little bit, maybe 7 to 10%, and the rest comes from local taxes. My goal is to have the state shoulder, on average, a 50% burden of supporting public education. And that recognizes, I think, the fact that this is a public good, that I live in York County, my home is York County, but I care about the education the children in Elk County get, too. And I care about the education the children in Philadelphia get. It's a public good. It's something that all of us benefit from in Pennsylvania if every child gets a good education. And so I want to go to that 50% level. I also want to have a fair funding formula that would actually have funding in line with the challenges schools face. Right now, we actually have a funding formula that seems to work just the reverse. It's in inverse proportion to the challenges. And I understand that you can't throw money at any problem and hope to reach a solution. but it's a necessary, if not sufficient, condition to a good education system that we're at least adequately and fairly funding schools in places like Philadelphia. I don't think we're doing that.
Tom Wolf, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for having me.